Chapter 3 Trantor. At the beginning of the 13th millennium, this tendency reached its climax. As the center of the imperial government for unbroken hundreds of generations, and located as it was in the central regions of the galaxy among the most densely populated and industrially advanced worlds of the system, it could scarcely help being the densest and richest clot of humanity the race had ever seen. Its urbanization, progressing steadily, had finally reached the ultimate. All the land surface of Trantor, 75 million square miles in extent, was a single city. The population, at its height, was well in excess of 40 billions. This enormous population was devoted almost entirely to the administrative necessities of empire, and found themselves all too few for the complications of the task. It is to be remembered that the impossibility of proper administration of the Galactic Empire under the uninspired leadership of the later emperors was a considerable factor in the fall. Daily, fleets of ships in the tens of thousands brought the produce of 20 agricultural worlds to the dinner tables of Trantor. Its dependence upon the outer worlds for food and, indeed, for all necessities of life, made Trantor increasingly vulnerable to conquest by siege. In the last millennium of the Empire, the monotonously numerous revolts made emperor after emperor conscious of this, and imperial policy became little more than the protection of Trantor's delicate jugular vein. Encyclopedia Galactica. Gal was not certain whether the sun shone, or, for that matter, whether it was day or night. He was ashamed to ask. All the planets seemed to live beneath metal. The meal of which he had just partaken had been labeled luncheon, but there were many planets which lived a standard timescale that took no account of the perhaps inconvenient alternation of day and night. The rate of planetary turnings differed, and he did not know that of Trantor. At first, he had eagerly followed the signs to the sun room and found it but a chamber for basking in artificial radiation. He lingered a moment or two, then returned to the Luxor's main lobby. He said to the room clerk, "Where can I buy a ticket for a planetary tour?"
"Right here."
"When will it start?"
"You just missed it. Another one tomorrow. Buy a ticket now and we'll reserve a place for you."
Oh. Tomorrow would be too late. He would have to be at the university tomorrow. He said, "There wouldn't be an observation tower or something? I mean, in the open air?"
"Sure. Sell you a ticket for that if you want.
Better let me check if it's raining or not." He closed a contact at his elbow and read the flowing letters that raced across a frosted screen. Gal read with him.
The room clerk said, "Good weather. Come to think of it, I do believe it's the dry season now."
He added conversationally, "I don't bother with the outside myself. The last time I was in the open was 3 years ago.
You see it once, you know, and that's all there is to it. Here's your ticket. Special elevator in the rear. It's marked to the tower. Just take it."